And turn to page 48 in your liturgy book. We're talking about the epistle reading. As a matter of fact, it's really not an epistle reading. During the time from Pascha to Pentecost in church, in our daily Bible readings, instead of an epistle reading, it'll be a reading from the book of Acts. And it is this is the time of the year when the church reads the book of Acts out loud in church. So if you read your daily Bible readings, you'll see that it's going to progress, you know, a chapter, a verse at a time, whatever. Another time that the book of Acts is read in church in some places like monasteries is, you know, when we're waiting for the midnight service at Pascha, you know, at 12 o'clock or whenever we're going to do the midnight service. In the monasteries, they come a little earlier. They want to spend more time. But they read the whole book of Acts out loud to the brethren. So there'll be like a rotation. Everyone will read a chapter or two chapters. And they read it out loud, and then they'll start the midnight service. So the book of Acts, as we know, is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. Luke wrote the Gospel, and then if you read it, it's like book two of Luke or whatever. And it talks about primarily what happened, the birth of the church or the development of the church after Pentecost. The first chapter or so we'll talk about before Pentecost, after the resurrection. So it will take us, you'll read the whole thing about Pentecost. And then everything that happened in the church after Pentecost. It's not everything, it's going to be the main events. I mean, they lived 24/7 for so many years. So we're only getting highlights of the important events that took place in the early church. Can you all hear me? Yeah, in the back? So, here it says, as in the first couple of months or so after the church was founded, after Pentecost, you know, it says what it says, that many people were becoming Christians, and there was a dispute that the Hellenists were saying that their widows were not being given food. So, you know, the church would do charitable work. If there were poor people or the widows, they would take care of them. And now, who are the Hellenists? The Hellenists were Jews and Jewish, but they had immigrated outside of Greece, outside of Israel, and had gone to other countries like Egypt, like Alexandria, and they'd become sort of modernized, sort of Hellenized. Okay, they had adopted much of the culture, the Greek culture that surrounded, you know, the Mediterranean world at that time, but they had not changed their religion. They were still Jews, but they probably spoke Greek, and they, you know, a little more modern, and perhaps their widows didn't look like widows. Kind of, we can relate to that, you know. I mean, you know, some people don't look like widows, and if they're widows, and maybe that's why, you know, the people who were distributing food overlooked them. So there's the Hellenists, you know, this little partisanship here. They complained to the apostles. And because there were so many people, the apostles said what they did. They said, we can't, you know, we have more important things to do.
Fine, you know, let's appoint some people. Now, the apostles had the authority to appoint if they wanted to, but they said, choose, elect seven. Probably seven is enough. But they had credentials. They said, they have to be, you know, what it says, upright, men of wisdom, you know, people who were progressed in their spiritual life. And they elected the deacons, and then they ordained them. Okay, so there was a need, then there were credentials, there was a selection, and then those people were consecrated or ordained and set aside and blessed by the apostles for work in the church. The reason why, and they name the names, and you notice those names are kind of Greek names. Stephanos, that's a Greek name. Nikolaos, that's a Greek name. They're Greek names. So I think they probably elected them from among the, you know, the Hellenists, the ones that these people could relate to a little bit better. And the reason why the last one tells us where he's from, Nicholas the Antiochian, or from Antioch, is because he would become famous later because he broke with the church at some later date and formed one of the first heresies or first sects in the church. And you can look it up, the Nicolaitans, and you can look that up. So that's kind of like, you know, you remember Acts is being written many years after the events. And so, you know, looking back, they said, well, let's just kind of underscore this one. And what we can take away about this is that the church, how the church addresses needs within the church. A need arises, and those who are responsible will say, okay, we need to meet this need. And that it also began sort of like the way the clergy began in the Christian church. Now we have a thing called deacons, okay? But this that same sort of discernment and thinking continues throughout the centuries. And for many years, especially in the United States, we didn't have deacons, okay? It kind of wasn't used. I mean, you had to become a deacon to become a priest, but you weren't a permanent deacon. But in later years, especially with the fact that so many people are receiving communion, and so we needed help, you know, to give communion or hospital visits or other things that deacons can do, the church kind of revived that and said, you know, well, it's not exactly what the original deacons were doing because they were distributing food, you know, but we need this thing for a particular reason. And that's how the church, but there were credentials that had to be met, and those have become standardized now in the church through holy canons. You have to be a certain age. You have to have, you know, the approval by the superior. The selection, we don't really do kind of a democratic voting, you know, but someone is going to choose you. Oh, but notice, they didn't volunteer. They were, you know, they were selected. They were like, hey, we need you to be a deacon. Not that it's bad to make yourself available. I'd like to be considered, you know, that's good, because that kind of a person will prepare themselves, you know, in every way to be considered. But anyway, so there's the need, the selection, the credentials, and then the ordination or the consecration, which practice